The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball to pick winners and sinners from the week gone by. Are either of you Oasis bound?
No. And I'm not. Jealous.
A media insider like you.
I know.
Music insider.
Yeah.
I did really like them musical, back in the day.
Musical station, musical spouse.
I know.
Should have loads of tickets.
But I got to the stage where I didn't want to ask, and now it's just too late. I did put my name in the hat for the first time ever with the all staff email.
Here, that Henry McKean one.
Of course that guy wins. That guy wins everything. Mm. Does he? I don't know. But yeah, I'm jealous now because I do want to be going.
Me
You're
too.
The same. Yeah.
I'm in exactly the same scenario. I left it too late to start asking.
Did either of you make any attempt to buy tickets?
Well, I was on the thing, but like number 642,000.
My answer. No, I didn't.
You didn't try. I know.
No.
You thought someone would offer you tickets.
Yeah, I did. No, I didn't. I think
so
it crept up on me.
Which corporate are you in, Kieran?
Well, I haven't decided yet. But see, the problem is...
He's Saturday and Sunday.
The promise is that if you go to the Guinness corporate box, I prefer to have a glass of wine, and sometimes they kind of look down on that. So
right.
I might go to... No, I'm joking.
Right.
I'm not going.
You're not going at all.
Sorry, if anybody from Guinness or Diageo is listening, of course.
Well,
I'm available to go to your corporate
entire
box.
Evening.
Yeah.
I won't drink any of your wine.
I have a Guinness ring on.
Oh, you do? Shameless.
I'm not going.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, we were talking about it right throughout the show. We spoke to Henry McKean, the winner of those tickets.
Did we just do that so that in the hope that somebody would hear and invite us? Is that what the whole point of this?
Give out the station box number now.
Is that not the whole point of our jobs? Is to just abuse that platform to get stuff?
I tried to get,
to get
free
tickets
betting.
To events that we want to go to.
I tried to get free betting last week. That was the highlight of my week.
Yeah, that was.
Because we ran a competition. Anyway.
Ger, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is John Giles. We had a celebration of John Giles last night in the Sugar Club in Dublin, and it was totes emosh because he's retiring from broadcasting. Everybody knows about John. He managed the Republic of Ireland. He was one of our best ever players. He left to go to England as a 14 or 15 year old and made it at Man United, won the FA Cup, had a row with Matt Busby, which he didn't do, and got burned out and relegated down to Leeds, Little Leeds, and then he came back and he haunted Matt Busby and won a league and reached a European Cup final while he was player manager for the Republic of Ireland. And then he has this entirely other second act where he becomes a seminal broadcaster for a long period of time. But the point that I really want to make is that actually, I'm not sure everybody fully appreciates the stuff that he was doing on the radio with Dunphy in 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001. It was the first time in Irish public broadcasting life that you could listen to two people who were really into sport having a long form conversation about it and treating it in a serious manner while also having crack. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
Right? So it wasn't like, well, we're very serious and it's just tactics. It was like proper entertaining but serious about the subject matter. It wasn't the coy bit at the end of the news. It wasn't a bit of hashtag Bants.
It was the phone in.
It was like proper. So you would have these, very unique style of broadcasting that Dunphy had, where you would have long form interviews with politicians. Martin McGuinness was on for like an hour long thing. Never would you have got that on RTE. And bear in mind, there was nothing else. There were no other radio stations in the country. There was RTE Radio 1 and a lot of local radio stations which were doing good work. The matches were the only things that you would be able to hear, but you were never able to hear people going, I love football. This is important matters that you should actually pay attention to.
Like dissecting it. And yeah, exactly.
And so when we came along in 2002, the template for what we were going to do was very obvious. It wasn't going to be a phone-in show like you would have in the UK. It wasn't going to be angry ranting at each other like you get in sports radio in America. We went on air in 2000 in May. Saipan happened in 2002, which is still... There's a movie about it next month, right? Still a massive story. But I don't know if everybody fully appreciates what happened. Dunphy took against Giles at the end of the summer and accused him of breaking a former pal of Dunphy's leg in a match. John said, this is just factually incorrect. And they fell out.
Mm.
There's brilliant stuff in the Sunday Independent from the time where they tracked down, I think his name was John Fitzpatrick, and he's like, oh, my leg wasn't broken, I played on. I'd have a glass of wine with John, no problems. As for this friend of mine, Eamon, I didn't know him very well.
Okay.
So they fell out.
Yeah.
And we got a phone call saying, John is available, would you like to have him on your radio station. And that was like, we had no listeners. We had some listeners because Saipan had happened. But so he joined us and the rest is history. And last night we had a celebration for him. But I do think they actually materially impacted the quality of radio that you get here.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of mine who are English or Scottish come and say they're astounded by the depth and quality of good sports broadcasting. And it's not just us.
Yeah.
You know, there's loads of other brilliant sports broadcasters out there.
But you do associate it with being shouty and, you know, the phone-in format. And it just wasn't going to work here.
Hashtag Vance.
Yeah.
It could have, we could have just done that. We could have just been what TalkSport are or what the Yanks are. But I think probably because Dunphy... So the other thing is, when we did the analysis on the figures, the last word back then had twice the audience on a Friday afternoon for the hour of sport that they did for the rest of the week. Like they were successful in audience terms, but they were mega successful when they turned to sports. So there was a community out there that needed a home, and then we came along.
And do you think it's when you said right at the outset you said people don't appreciate what he did? Is it because he was so successful? Because the template became so successful, and now you're such a known quantity, and then it's also been aped. You've got kind of versions of it everywhere. That's what its success explains why it's underappreciated.
I think maybe we haven't done a great job of telling the story that this is the start of something. There were probably pockets of it. Pat Kenny might have been doing some stuff. I would have been in school, so I wouldn't have heard it, right? But Ian Dempsey would have had Des Carroll on 2FM back in the day, but it was 3.5-4 minutes.
Not when Paul Collins was on our show and I was producing. I had to get that down from 6. That was my biggest challenge. I was like, Paul, I love you, but please.
6 minutes again, Paul.
But you know, he was doing all the local GA shout outs, like emails and things that came in.
Yes.
Like, this is 2002.
It went well last night.
Yeah, and sorry, I should say, like Gilesy departs with us at our record listenership, you know, after the most recent JNLR figures. So it's like an incredible high. We had two of his former teammates, Joe Jordan and Eddie Gray, were over. Brian Kerr and Declan Lynch were there, and his family were there. And his family were very emotional at the end of it, like very grateful for the fact that they were able to have that presentation. And then there's a 3-page letter from the president.
I saw it, the frame, and you did it framed off. It was great. It looks really nice.
Wow.
It's not like, congrats, John, on a great career, good man yourself. It was like, as you would expect, poetically written, but very like specific details about the impact that Giles had as a man, as a football pundit, as a coach. And so we were all a bit emotional afterwards.
Yeah. Good. Glad to hear it. Who's your winner of the week?
I don't know if I can follow that now. Thanks very much.
Beat that.
My winner's says Swifties. So I know you guys are excited about TS12 as well. It kind of ties in with sport, though. So Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift's boyfriend, has a podcast, New Heights.
Yeah.
And they decided to take that platform to announce her album. And
when is that happening? Sorry.
The album's out on the 3rd of October.
But when is the... Oh, did it happen then?
Yeah, so they made the big announcement.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're beside each other and Travis had confetti in his hand. It was quite cute. And it's like he was just staring at her like he's so proud of her. So she just made the announcement. So they delivered the news to Jason Kelce, who's the...
But I thought, sorry, it was all blurred out.
So no, then that was just a little teaser.
Oh.
And then obviously they unblurred everything.
Ah, I see,
The Life of a Showgirl and 12 tracks.
Jer looks as confused as me.
No, sorry. The blurring out, I've just remembered what my sinner of the week should have been, the Google Street View of Marconi House, but we're not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, right.
What? Do you not know about this?
No, tell me.
Oh my God.
Go on.
Do not go on to Google Street View. Do not Google Marconi House Lane. Do not scroll down to the...
Oh no.
Is it you?
It is NSFW.
Oh, right, okay. We'll do it during the news headlines because we're going to get them in a few minutes.
Sorry, not to... Go,
right. Right. Anyway, sorry, you, before he talked about whatever that is going to be, I cannot wait to get to the news headlines. Swifties.
Anyway, so it's just exciting. And I think, like, again, she's just like, the Eras Tour is the first to ever, like, crack a billion. And she's just, like, super impressive because you're like, when did you've been touring for 2 years. When did you write this album? While on tour. She was just recording it. So, yeah. And, like, she's known for the last few albums to release, you know, an album and then go part two. And there's, like, 30 more tracks or whatever because she can't stop writing. But this is 12 tracks. And she's back with the people she did 1989 with in Red, and it sounds really good.
Oh my God.
You've heard it.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I really wasn't. Oh my God.
This is the last time I'm going on the show.
Oh my God. Do you know?
No.
Do you know? Okay.
I know this is visual, though.
Sorry. Yeah, it is. Sorry, I know this is... yes, Alison.
In broad daylight.
In broad daylight.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good God.
What did you just do, Google?
I just went to Diggs Lane. So people at home are going to want to do this. So I'm just going to tell them. You, Diggs Lane, and you just go Street View. Do not do it with anyone under the age of 18. Anywhere near you.
How long does that stay like that?
Well, I think it's 10 months.
What?
I think it's been up for 10 months. Somebody discovered it and started to do the rounds in the building this week.
Oh, good God.
Oh, my God.
But sorry.
Hey, stop looking at it now.
It's seared into my retinas.
It blanked his face out.
It's true, yeah.
Maybe that's an AI thing and all faces are blanked out. But, you think maybe you blank out some of the other stuff that's happening.
Oh, yeah. Good God.
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Swifty, 12th album.
Yeah, yeah.
The Orange Era.
You don't care.
Is it good? Because one of the reviews I read was it's a drastic change of
back to the two producers, so it's like all bangers, so it's like all basically right. 1989.
Well, but we don't know, it's the Orange Era, so I think she's going to sing The Sash.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I think so. This is my theory earlier on, and I have not had any denial from the Taylor Swift camp
since
I suggested she's going to sing it.
Okay, R.I.P.
You are
your mentions,
invested
buddy.
Than I thought
yeah.
you'd be. Yeah.
Yeah. Derry Ockerham
for you.
And the Skillin and the Boyne.
Happy. She's the happiest she's ever been, so I'd say it's going to be a good, happy album.
When you said confetti, I thought that was like a precursor to a marriage announcement or something.
No. I mean, I'm sure that's on the way.
Oh, no.
But he just looked so proud.
She'd be a winner of the week then as well, don't you?
He just looked so proud. It was so cute. But like some of the song titles that Jason Kelsey was like, I don't, what? And like they're literary references. I'm sorry, Jason. He's hilarious. But you could tell he was like, I don't know what those words are, but I'm really happy for you.
All those blows to the head, making American football don't help. Jer, who's your sinner of the week?
Well, it is presidential election.
Oh.
It's a little bit low wattage, isn't it?
It is for the moment.
Yeah,
what's because McGregor hasn't got his nomination yet.
Well, he's not going to get one either.
No.
It doesn't look like it, right?
So your complaint is it's just all a bit boring.
I mean, Catherine Connolly's a very credible candidate and is out there early. And then the new software fella is out. Fair play to him. The Irish Times obviously do not approve his candidature. And a story about a corporate box at a basketball game was the lead this week. Come on. Is this the level of dirt we have?
It's just too boring for you right now.
Stick flatly in. Like, let's have a bit of free radical.
Yeah.
At least even when Ganley was there, there was like, what's this?
Ganley didn't run for president, did he?
I think he tried.
Nah, MEP. He ran for European Parliament
for limit
Dignitas.
Of how many can run?
No.
Okay.
No, there's no upper limit.
Well, one time, there was about nine or eight or nine, wasn't
there? Yeah, 2011 there was. So 2011, because Fianna Fáil were not running candidates. So they basically said to all their councillors, you can nominate, we are in the doldrums. You do whatever you want. We have bigger fish to fry. Mm-hmm. And it meant that the county councils had just did what they wanted. Mm. They're not going to do that this time.
Some chaos ensued in 2011.
Well, there was a perception that it was easier to get a council nomination. Whereas this time, because I know they haven't announced it yet, they'll have candidate. Fianna Fáil will have a candidate. Fine Gael will find someone to replace Mairead McGuinness.
Yeah.
Sinn Féin, they will then instruct all their councillors.
You've got to vote for this otherwise.
You're not to put anyone else on the ticket.
Right.
Don't approve anyone. Which means that effectively closes down the county council route.
Okay. Mm.
Which means
it's likely to be pretty boring.
It's
so it's a worthy sinner.
Can
we not magic up a good candidate?
But it sounds like a good candidate in your mind is a candidate who's mired in controversy, so it's a bit more exciting.
They don't necessarily need to win, do they?
Yeah, okay.
Improve the
you want someone with a bit of a smell of sulfur about them, Jordan, in the race, you know?
It's going to put the eventual winner to the pin of their collar and make them improve and come out with some good stuff.
You want a Peter Casey in this, do you? That's what you want. You see, careful what you wish for. That's who you're describing. A bit of a smell of sulfur off him.
It is quite boring at the moment, though, definitely.
Hard to tune in with any degree of interest when it's like, oh, there's a Moldovan aircraft leasing element to this story. Whoa, that's box office, baby.
Sorry, it's very early, though. It's very early. The election isn't until when, November or certainly October. Yeah, November. But most people are not going to engage. It'll be the last 4 weeks is when it'll get exciting.
Mm.
If it gets exciting.
Is that any blockbooked for your show?
Blockbuster. Yeah.
Are there any rando outside candidates who might yet emerge? Like, is Joe Duffy now back in the mix because of what's happened this week?
No, I don't think so.
Miriam now back in the mix because of what happened this week, even though she keeps saying she's not.
Yeah, I don't hear any serious conversation about Miriam. Someone asked me about her as well recently, why there hasn't been more. Nora Casey, there was talk about a few years ago that she was going to run in the next one, which is this one, and that's disappeared.
Put himself forward, but just not yet.
Yeah, just not yet.
Mm. He's kind of, in a way, too young, isn't he?
Yeah, I suspect it's just going to be, the ticket would be Catherine Connolly, Fine Gael, possibly Heather Humphreys, a Fianna Fáil, and then a Sinn Féiner.
And who do you think the Fianna Fáil will be?
I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be. There was talk of Tony Holohan kind of giving come hither eyes at Fianna Fáil, but the word is that while Micheál Martin is fond of him, lots of the other Fianna Fáil TDs are allergic to him.
Okay.
They just, I can see what, either on a personal level, but also they think if you, I think it'd be mad to run because the whole campaign then would just become a COVID inquiry.
Yeah.
The COVID inquiry that we're meant to be having would actually happen in the presidential election. Yeah. It's all
and
it
it's
would
just
be about.
People throw
and
back.
Cervical check and the job in Trinity. Yeah. Actually, his experience with the Trinity thing surely was a lesson to Tony Holohan that people don't think you're a saint.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be a lot of respect for what you did and all of that, but people don't think you're a saint and they will stick the boot in.
And it'll just be, people will just throw back to that and have that as a reference. Yeah.
Also, COVID.
You don't want to be reminded of that, do you?
Like, no, you don't. What is an actual good candidate? So Catherine Connolly obviously is a good candidate, but everybody else who...
Somebody who's honest, who just says, I want to be president because I like the sound of it and I'm a massive egomaniac.
And there's not much actual work to do. It's like going around visiting people, being nice, having people
but
come to the gaff.
But that's work in itself. It's very tiring.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah. Anyway. So your sinner is the presidential election, the campaign?
Yeah, come on, presidential election.
Or Moldovan aircraft leasing.
Well, I'm just...
The Moldovan aircraft leasing industry.
Yeah.
Doesn't get enough mentions on this station, you know? If they had a box in Croke Park, we'd be all about them. We'd never stop talking about Moldovan aircraft leasing.
I wholeheartedly endorse this product, service or event. Christy the Clown with that.
Alison, who's your sinner of the week?
Asian hornets.
Ooh, racist.
So, no. Okay. You guys aren't terrified of these now?
So they're coming.
They are here. So it doesn't cause a public health outcry. That's fine. As people... Like, they're nasty and not great, but it's the honeybees, guys. So basically, they came in through a freight through France. It's having a real problem. So what they do, the Asian hornets, is they hang around where the honeybees are and take them out. So it's really...
Do you know how to take them out?
No. But
so they land on the back of a honeybee.
Yeah.
They'll rip the head off the honeybee. They'll rip the tail off and they'll just keep the torso where the kind of nectar and stuff to be on its back, on the hairs. And they'll kind of ball it up with their feet and then they'll fly it back to their hornet's nest.
Yeah.
And then they'll kind of deliver this, the torso of this decimated honeybee into the middle of the other hornets and they'll say, oh, there's more where that came from.
Oh my
and then
God,
they all go
so
off and they
freaky.
Do the same thing to the rest of them.
So it's all pollinators that they're... So someone was in Cork in a bar and it was sunny and hot and lots of sweet things lying around and they spotted one. So they've set up a task force. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Yeah.
So if you spot it, you can give your location. You do, like, if it's safe to do so, contain it. Take a photograph of it and all that kind of stuff. And
why would it not be safe to do so? They
could sting you.
Dangerous to us?
Well, no.
They're no worse than a bee. They're bigger.
Than the common wasp.
But they won't. They're like a wasp.
Do you want to know what they look like?
People panic around them. But
I've seen the pictures.
All right, okay.
Why was
if you don't bother them, they won't bother you.
You have to look out for the long orange face.
Okay.
That's
here we go. Okay.
Public
health announcement coming your way.
Exactly. And all brown, black body, and then yellow legs on the bottom from the knee down, like if they had knees. From the knee down, it'd be yellow.
Okay, yeah. From the knees.
So, but the invasive species thing does kind of freak me out. Not keeping me up at night, but it does kind of freak me out, kind of thing, because where we have our cottage in Canada, the zebra mussels have come in and like they weren't around when we were kids. And they are like, I have like a scar on this arm. They're like sharp, like razor sharp. So
and they're in the lake.
Yeah. And they never were when we were growing up. So like if we jump off this rock and like I was kind of coming up and I got caught on a few and like they just are so sharp. Like, it's literally like glass.
And what have the authorities done in Canada to get rid of them?
I don't know. I'm not going to be able to answer that with any authority myself.
Okay, yeah.
But, like, they have completely taken over the
Great
Lakes. Sorry,
are you supposed to know stuff for the slot? I thought you could just make that up.
Well, yeah, I actually would have said, there's no one listening who knows the answer. You could have said anything. You could have said, well, they're looking at biological weapons that they're going to drop on the lake.
They're nasty little things. And, like, species that are not meant to be.
Yeah.
Which you actually, when you think about the amount of things that are, you know, between countries that are traded, it's amazing it doesn't happen more often, I suppose.
Yeah. Lots of animals in Ireland are rhododendrons, rabbits.
Oh,
yeah.
Rabbits
are an invasive species. The Normans brought rabbits to Ireland. They weren't here before. The Normans came.
I don't know why we don't eat rabbits.
Magpies, pheasants.
You want to eat them? People do eat them.
Rabbits are beautiful. Good rabbit is beautiful. We saw these rabbits.
Gamey.
They're cooked properly. We saw this food source and we decided we'll poison it. That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
This is a food source that could like help us to get through some difficult times. Like, no, we will poison this and make it impossible.
Yeah.
And then make the rest of the food source food.
The mix of mitosis.
Yeah. Like, let's poison this and give everybody nightmares.
Ugh.
Yeah. Could you not have eaten the mussels in Canada? Are they inedible?
No, those ones, zebra mussels aren't. I don't know why they aren't. I mean, I wouldn't eat them anyway, but they're just so awful and sharp. So we used to be able to like just swim with whatever. Now we have to wear these like stupid water shoes wherever we go. That's a problem.
they're definitely going to come here though. They only came to France in 2004 and apparently they're like fully established.
They're all over Europe and they're in
south of England and Wales. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, honeybees.
But they're definitely a sinner.
A worthy sinner. Of the week. We will be back in a moment with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Alison and Ger are both still with me. Ger, you want to mention the Wexford County Board. Much like the Moldovan aircraft leasing industry, not often mentioned in this slot.
The Wexford County Board, a progressive group of people who have seen a problem, looked at the solution and gone, let's just roll with it. So last year, the championship was decimated by unavailability of players on a random weekend. It was like, what's going on here? Where is everybody? They were at Electric Picnic.
Oh.
This year, Electric Picnic is on. They've decided, no fixtures. Off you go. Go forth and do whatever it is you want.
So
go
that's
and see
it.
A kneecap on the Saturday evening. I'm like, yeah, fair play.
But is there a drink span?
I mean, you know.
The Wexford County Board will have officials wandering around Strad Valley
to
catch people out.
They're probably all going as well.
Goes on tour to EP, stays
on tour.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a worthy of a mention.
I think it's a good idea. It's like genuinely, most times, organisations put their head in the sand and like, well, they obviously don't respect the club and the
You're not committed.
Parish.
You're not committed enough.
No, it's a smart move.
Yeah, let them go off to Electric Picnic.
Definitely.
And let them have a drink at it. I know they'll be like, don't have a drink. But people
drink
exaggerate.
Responsibly.
Yeah, drink
Quit
responsibly.
Encouraging people to drink.
I am, yeah. There's a puritanical streak. There's a schizophrenic streak in the GA because it's puritanical until the end of things. And then there's
goes crazy.
And encouraged to go crazy. Go out and absolutely get totally blathered.
To celebrate.
Instead of like,
maybe
on a
Friday
night after training, it's okay to have a couple of glasses of wine or something. And then get absolutely blathered after a match.
Yeah. Although it does
seem
as if...
You don't have to do either, sorry.
Yeah.
You know?
It does seem as if younger generations are drinking less than...
They are,
they're all
definitely.
Coke. That's why.
Oh my God.
You know? That's part of the problem. It is a problem in the GAA. Anyway, they're head in the sand about that too. Alison, you want to mention GAA stronghold, is that right? Former province?
Exactly. Beautiful County Meath.
Mm.
So I just did a little staycation there this week with Joan and it was really nice. Now, we were blessed, obviously, with the weather.
Yes.
It was so nice. But I'd never been to the Hill of Tara, which is bizarre because it's not actually that far from here.
Yeah.
We had to wait for this very large group of Japanese tourists to get off the hill and then we went up to have a look. But yeah, it was just like green, stunning, lots of like Dunshockland. Like we just went into town and had a really, really gorgeous lunch there. So it's nice. We just, you know, without the stress, like it's so close to where we are. So we just jumped in the car and stayed in Killeen Castle. And that was really nice as well. Lots of greenery. Just walked around, chilled.
What is at the Hill of Tara? Is there a visitor centre?
There's three hills. And
wow.
Yeah, there's a visitor centre. I didn't go in. because my daughter had like this time limit of history intake that she was willing to sit through. So we just walked around. She's like, I gotta go. So yeah, but it was nice. And like, obviously the weather made a big difference. So beautiful County Meath.
All right. Did you play the Dustin song? I've been to paradise, but I've never been to Meath.
No.
Underappreciated.
I should have.
Instead, people raving about Oasis all weekend.
I know, exactly.
Well, they could be listening to classics like that. Anyway, look, I wish you both well in your last-ditch efforts to get a ticket.
I'm not going to try that hard.
You didn't even look, no.
No, I actually didn't look. No. No, I didn't. Too much. I'm doing a Hyrox tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I know.
You kept that quiet.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Well,
you know. What's involved with that?
People like us.
What's that little
we don't
band
need to brag.
Like?
what do you do on the day?
Do you have to go to a class? No.
No, you just train yourself and then okay. You go to an event.
Right.
But it's kind of like a big fitness class. It's kind of silly.
No.
You do 8 exercises and 8 runs.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Exercise, run in between. The run's about a kilometer?
A kilometer run okay. In between each. The running is fine. It's the exercises. Sound like awful things.
And you're doing this with a group of people?
Doing it with my brother and brother-in-law.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it before?
No.
Oh.
Never done it before. So.
Did you hear Richie Hogan talking about it?
I heard Richie Hogan. That's my inspiration. He made it through.
Did you hear him afterwards?
Yeah, no, I did. But you see,
never felt more
I'm a glass half full person. I heard that. And my interpretation was, Richie made it through.
He did.
You should do it too.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm doing instead of going to Oasis at the weekend. Anyway, enjoy Oasis to everybody who is going. Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. What's on the show this weekend?
Vicky McClure.
Oh, very good.
Yes. And she was the voiceover for the launch of the Oasis Returns last summer. They asked her to do the big countdown and the list of dates and things like that. So that's her little connection.
Okay, cool. All right. Can she get your tickets? Yeah,
tomorrow.
Do. Alison, thank you both very much. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. I'll be back on Monday at 4.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.